So welcome everyone to the Immigrants Journey Podcast, a space where we learn about Ireland's immigrant population and abroad. I'm your host, Carmenetta, and today we are delighted to have with us Patrick, who is the editor of the popular website movingtoireland.com. Incidentally, movingtoireland.com are our new partners here at the Immigrants Journey. So that's moving the number two. Ireland.com. It's a website dedicated to helping immigrants and returning Irish make the move home. Patrick will be celebrating his 33rd birthday tomorrow. So happy early birthday, Patrick. It's nearly midnight here, so I can say Patrick is originally from Adair County, Limerick, and before moving to Canada in 2016, he worked for the Irish Labour Party as a parliamentary assistant. He has lived and worked in five Irish cities. He's a graduate of UCC and TCD, so that's University Cork College and Trinity College Dublin, am I correct?
Correct. Yep.
Fantastic. And he's also a big Limerick, Ga, and Ireland football fan. So Ga, for anybody who is listening not from Ireland, is the Gaelic Athletic Association. So that's where you get all your exotic Irish sports. Patrick enjoys music, film, and going to the museums and spending time with friends. Patrick, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Great. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your work with Moving to Ireland.
Okay, so as you mentioned, I'm the editor and I'm a content writer for Moving to Ireland. The site was launched in September 2018. And I guess with the basic remit of helping both newcomers to the country and returning Irish settle back into life at home. It was set up by an Irish guy called Roy Spillane from Kerry, who moved to Vancouver. It's a sister site of a site that was set up in 2011 called Moving to Canada. And I guess with the success of moving to Canada and helping so many people from Ireland, the UK, and later all over the world move to Canada, Murray got the idea that it would be a really good option to look into helping people who move to Canada from Ireland and want to move back, as well as helping newcomers who are looking to move to Ireland. So that's how the site started. And I came on board in September 2018, and the site launched in September 2018. And we've been kind of growing the site steadily from there, primarily, as I said, fostering a site that will help our community, which has been growing all the time, get free access to free information that can answer hopefully a lot of questions they have about moving to Ireland. So anything from immigration queries, employment permits, and more practical things like opening a bank account and renting and various things like that.
Fantastic. So I had asked you about three things that you wanted to discuss with an audience. And employment permit is always a popular question on the Facebook page and on the website. So maybe we'll start there. What are the different types of employment permits and how does one go about pursuing that?
Okay, that's a big question. Okay, so I'm just going to give a brief overview. Unlike Canada, for instance, where ways of moving to Canada are application based. In Ireland, you need to have for the majority. There's a number of different ways. First of all, you can move if you're from a number of 10 countries. For instance, you can move through the working holiday program. Unfortunately, that doesn't cover a lot of people. Secondly, if you want to study, you can come through a study visa. Obviously, if you're an EU citizen or an EEA citizen, you can move to Ireland freely. But I'm talking specifically here for non-EEA people. So the big options are employment permits. Now there's different types of employment permits. There's intercompany, there's spousal dependent, there's if you're a skilled sports star, for instance. The two big ones are critical skills and general employment permits. And they differ slightly, but the one thing that is key to both of them is that you need a job offer to be able to be eligible for one of them. So And that is somewhat determined on what kind of sector and what kind of job you have and what industry you're looking to work in, because it's not a case that they're looking for people from all industries at all times, and that changes and fluctuates. So there's a little bit of research to do there and to see exactly if you're eligible and if you are, the conditions that exist for that. So I guess that's an overview of it. I can go into further detail.
So hypothetical, if I'm a nurse from Argentina, let's say, would the process be me put an application into hospitals in Ireland and get a job offer from them. And then once I have the offer, then try to seek out an employment permit. Because I know that nursing is one of the critical skills on the list. It was a nice article recently released on the website, which is quite informative.
Yeah. So as a nurse, I think the first thing you would do is to check if your skill or your trade or your occupation is on the list, whether that be for the employment permit or for the critical skills employment permit, which we have on our site. If you go to movementireland.com/employment permits, you can see the information on that, which skills are on, which professions and which skills are on there and which aren't. We also have information on the general employment permit where you can see which skills the government are looking to bring in, which they aren't. As a nurse, I would say, first of all, check that you're on the list, you are, and then, start the process of applying through hospitals or through different, I think for something like nursing, it'd probably be direct hospitals and maybe some specific job sites that might have nursing-specific kind of applications available to them. But that would be the course of action. And then once you have the job offer, then it's when you can start the employment permit process. So it's really key that the job comes first, I think. Research that your industry is there first, job, get the job application second, and then employment permit from there.
Excellent. Now let's talk a little bit about renting prices in Dublin, in Ireland in general, but in Dublin in particular, because that's something if you're considering moving here.
So I'm living in Canada now. I don't need to tell you how expensive it is living in, especially in Dublin, but elsewhere. A couple of weeks ago, Rory wrote an opinion piece that was in the Irish Times about just the cost of living at home and it's a bit challenging for returning immigrants particularly, but also for newcomers who arrive to the country and are suddenly struck by the cost of living in Dublin. I guess there was good news last week from DAF that rental prices for the first time in 8 years weren't going up month on month from December, which is good. But clearly, given the election results that happened at the weekend, housing and the cost of living in Ireland, especially in Dublin, are seen as a massive issue. We can go anecdotally into different costs that people incur trying to live in Dublin, but it's very expensive. Before Christmas, there was a cost of living report where put Dublin in the top three in the world for rental prices. So, it's a challenge. Sorry, I should say it's a challenge when you move somewhere and you need to be very aware of it, to be honest. Like, salaries are good in Dublin and there's lots of jobs, obviously, as we know right now, but the shortage of, from what I can tell, just doing research for the site and our various work with different partners, both home and in Canada, who are people helping people look to move back. It's the biggest concern for returning immigrants and for newcomers that we're facing. So I would say just be as prepared as possible. See if have everything you need in advance in terms of reference letters. Have your bank account set up if possible before you need a property, because that'll be a big stumbling block if you don't. And I guess be patient to some degree, because it's not easy.
Setting up a bank account prior to coming to Ireland, that would be tricky, because normally you need to go into a bank and show proof of address. So unless you're moving here, how are you going to show proof of address?
True. It's this constant issue we're getting. We really get a lot of queries from people who are moving here, and that's a problem that they are facing. They need a bank account to help with the process of renting or buying, but mostly renting. But they can't open a bank account until they move home or they move to Ireland. So whether they be returning immigrants or newcomers.
My suggestion, based on my own experience, would be this. If you get a lease signed, have your new landlord write a letter saying this person has signed a lease and will be moving in on this date. And you can provide that to your bank electronically. Like, some banks do accept that you don't have to go there in person. They do accept electronic communication. I know KBC does. That's who I bank with. So there are a few options out there.
There are good alternatives in the banking. Sorry to cut across you. There are good alternatives for sure in terms of the big two, I guess, a little more difficult, but with KBC and a few of the newer banks, that is an option there. But renting more broadly, I think it's just a matter of asking yourself where you need to live for work. If you're moving as a newcomer, do you need to be in Dublin city centre? Do you have to be there? obviously, if your job is tied to somewhere that is very is in IFSC, for instance, or you're working in tech, or you're working in any job really in Study Centre, then yes, maybe you do. But you know, Ireland isn't brilliant for commuting, but it is getting a little better. The Lewis node, the Lewis North. It's I mean, I'm talking about
In the city, it's all right.
Like the lines now run north further than they did, and you know, so that's a change. The Lewis line, I mean, and so just think about that a little bit, and research the area where you want to live in as well, and see what your commute is to work each day, and how much of your monthly salary will be going on rent, and ask yourself is there a more affordable alternative? Often it would mean living further out, unfortunately. But the other thing is we get a lot of newcomers who aren't necessarily tied to living in Dublin. I think people think of Ireland as Dublin quite a lot, and it's not necessarily the case. Not that rent is necessarily super cheap in other cities, but it is cheaper, and it's cheaper again in smaller towns. So
for sure,
if you're working in something like pharma, you might have a job outside Dublin, in Kildare perhaps, or in Cork, which is a little bit, would be considered cheaper than Dublin. So maybe a way of deciding if you're caught between two job offers, it might be an idea to weigh up the cost of living and renting, what that'll cost you. So yeah,
very, that's good.
Advice I'd give.
Oh, the other question that I wanted to ask you was from one of the lads. So his missus is a nurse, but he's a construction worker. Now, right. He would probably qualify as the spouse of a skilled worker. Do spouses of skilled workers have a separate application that they need to pursue, or how exactly does that work? Does the spouse have to be approved first, then they can put an application, or?
A recent change came in last year in March 2019 where spouses of critical skills employment permit holders are eligible to work in Ireland. So he would be, if she is holding a critical skills employment permit. The application process is a little bit complicated, but they'd be able to come together, essentially.
Okay, and that's very good.
But one other thing to note is there was a more recent change in terms of employment permits for construction workers that was enacted on January 1st, that basically, because of the shortage in construction positions in Ireland, they have extended a number of new roles to the critical skills employment permit that were previously ineligible. Foremen, architectural technicians, and construction safety officers were previously on the ineligible list, which means they wouldn't have been applicable for a critical skills employment permit. They were removed. And so as of 1st of January, those roles can now also be applied for. So, I mean, that's a positive development in my mind. Prior to that, there is construction project managers were already on the eligible list for critical skills employment permits. Right. So there's lots to, I guess it's positive news there. Yep.
For sure. So what is your biggest challenge at the moment with moving to Ireland as a company?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I mean, a challenge for us is to make sure we're still providing relevant and up-to-date information and content for our audience. We do that. We're a very efficient team here, a very positive team, but you know, we're a small team too, so we don't have the resources that other bigger sites might have or competitors may have. So yeah, it's for us, it's trying to make sure that we can be as, make sure our content and the news we're giving is as relevant as, and information is as relevant as possible to our audience. And and ensuring that they are getting value for what we're doing. So whether that be information on banking or information on employment permits or information on whatever it is about life in Ireland, that that we are doing that in a like effective and timely fashion, I guess. So just making sure we're on top of that.
Very good. Have you ever considered enlisting volunteer content contributors? Because I know this one lad, he has a website and he gets loads of lads from around the world to contribute content to his website as volunteers. Mm. People with like degrees and stuff, but there's no platform for them to build their portfolio. So even though like it's free work, on the one hand, they have a platform to showcase their work to future employers potentially, and then you're also getting quality work from people who, you know, are not able to find work in their industry.
For sure. So we in the past and in different I guess articles we've written and pages we've written, we have enlisted people who have expertise in that. So we have a careers some career pages on teaching, and we got a person who was a teacher in Ireland who was helping maybe returning Irish and newcomers with the and wrote a few articles for us on that, and that was really helpful. We also have a blog and opinion section where it wouldn't necessarily be evergreen content in terms of like practical information advice. It's more user generated, like first person stories and narratives about what life is like and on. But we do have, and that's a really popular part of our site, where people who both Irish and people from across the world who moved to Ireland share their stories about life in Ireland or about life living abroad and what they're thinking about about moving to Ireland and what it entails. So we've got a lot of different perspectives on there, and you can see that by visiting movingtoireland.com/blog. Sorry to be
that's why you're here. It's from the website. Go for it.
Yeah, where you can see both opinion pieces from the Movement to Ireland team ourselves, so myself and Rory and other people, and you can also read blogs from people who have contributed. But yeah, it's a good point. I think ideally, in an ideal world, we would be doing it more often, but it's sometimes this is capacity. It's just unfortunately we don't always have the ability to have every article we'd like written, even though there's so many good writers out there who need a platform to share on. But if anyone has good ideas about something that they feel we're not covering on the site at present, or something that could add value to the site and help the community grow and have wider knowledge base, then we'd always accept that and, you know, work something out there for sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And what is the vision of moving to Ireland? What is the vision the company has for the future?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's just about making sure that if someone wants to move to Ireland, they can do so with the information that is necessary. I know a lot of people we speak to, sometimes when you're doing this job, you feel like, oh, is it making any difference? Or like, is anyone reading this? Or like, is it, you know? But then we get emails, you know, a couple times a week or something from someone saying, oh, I found this page on PPS numbers really useful, for instance, or I found this page on schooling for kids really interesting and informed a lot for me. So for us, it's really about making sure that people who are moving to Ireland have a resource that they can use for free that exists, that isn't necessarily, you know, couched in bureaucratic or technocratic, or like you don't need a degree to understand everything that's, you know, because I mean, especially for people who are coming from outside of Europe, or even Europe itself might have English as a second language. And while they might be fluent in English, sometimes the government sites and some government affiliated sites can be, the information is all there, don't get me wrong, and it's a useful resource, but it can be quite difficult to navigate. Yeah. So I think we try and take that out and make it a little bit more easily digestible for people and answer questions that are probably a bit more relevant. So I think to answer your question, our goal would be to continue to do that and to be better at it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Final question. What do you wish you knew when you first got started in your career?
Right. Yeah. That's a really good question. I mean, I think these are probably more broader points than necessarily pertaining to Movement Ireland or anything like that. I think one big thing I always thought when I was starting out, I graduated in 2010, end of 2009, start 2010, which was the height of the crash, and like it was really hard to find a job, and you know, you had to hustle pretty hard to get even internships or whatever, a lot of my friends were immigrating, and I think there was the idea at the time is that like you had to be an expert to get in. Like, you know, you're almost, before you started, you almost had to be, you couldn't make mistakes and you couldn't learn the job. And that was like, it was kind of a little bit stressful, I think, for me at least. Maybe I'm speaking personally as opposed to, and I am speaking personally. But, I think the like first thing is that it's okay not to know the answer to something. Like, if you're starting out, you know, every day I'm learning something new, whether it's about like, you know, coding or like learning about a new facet of employment permits, or if I'm working, moving to Canada, about different immigration programs we have here. I think it's okay not to know everything straight away, and to ask people you work with or externally, like how to do something, or an idea that you might be able to share and get better at. I think that's one thing, I think, that a lot of people, especially when they move to a new country as well, there might be that pressure to kind of, you know, because like with employment permits, there's pressure to both have a job and to be good at your job, I suppose. But it's also important to remember that, you know, we all bring different skill sets, and I think sharing that knowledge is really important. I rambled on there a little bit. Sorry about that.
That's fine. It's whatever your experience has been.
Yeah, I guess another thing, being in Dublin initially when I worked in Ireland, and maybe I think one of the changes I've hear my friends talking about and people in our community as well, is that the work-life balance has shifted a little bit in Dublin, particularly in Ireland in recent years, where before I would have said Ireland and even Dublin was a very pleasant place to work in terms of like, yeah, you worked hard and you were finished at 5:30 or 6, but like you didn't have massive commutes necessarily. You could afford to live somewhat close to the city, and you know, and I'm speaking personally, but like it wasn't cheap necessarily, but it wasn't extortionate to live within, you know, cycle distance to your office or to where you need to be. These things are all interlinked, obviously. So when rent goes up and there's housing shortages and accommodation crisis existing, it's a lot harder for people to have that. And living here in Montreal, I can speak honestly and say that like I've got a good work-life balance in terms of like good working day, but also having the opportunity to both pursue interests that I want after work, whether they be like just socially or, but like even from my job, whether it's upskilling in a certain field or learning French or whatever it is. I think it's important that you have that balance in place and that you're fully able to do both. Now, again, that might seem like a little bit ideological and a little bit like utopic from me living here, but I wouldn't like to see Dublin go the way of London or, you know, where it's almost impossible to, that you're chasing your tail the entire time. And I think that was one of the good things about Ireland, what the charm it has over other countries is that it is a little more relaxing. So I think it would be important to keep that. The final thing would be when you're coming here, I think it's just, and coming to Ireland, I should say, and you're applying for jobs and you're looking around, just to be as prepared as possible, know the industry, make connections. But also, if you know, don't have to do everything necessarily how it's pursued on LinkedIn. You know, if you come to Ireland and you're fortunate enough to be on a working holiday visa or an EEA citizen, and you know you can live and work there without an employment permit, then maybe get on the street and like form informational interviews, meet people in your industry. You know, have a wider think about the job search process rather than just, you know, specifically on job sites and LinkedIn. There's a lot of hidden job market opportunities that exist for sure here in Canada and in Ireland as well. So I would say just to make sure you are as diligent as possible in that respect and don't be too disheartened if you don't get the first job you look for, the second job you apply for. So
exactly. Perseverance is the name of the game. And that's great advice, Patrick. Don't get the work-life balance skewed. Patrick, thank you so much for your time here today and for sharing some really helpful advice. And remember, if you need more information about coming to Ireland, just check out movingtoireland.com. That is moving2ireland.com. And Patrick will be a reoccurring guest on the show. So if you have any questions that you want Patrick to answer, email us at the show at immigrantsjourneydublin@gmail.com. Patrick will be back to give us the latest on all things moving to Ireland. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, share your favorite episodes, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And until the next journey, ciao.
Thank you.